Time for another of our site lost stories. Today we are chatting with Linda Parsons from Peterborough. Thank you very much for joining us, Linda.
Thank you.
So tell me first of all a little bit about yourself, but about your sight condition.
I was born with a condition called aniridia, which is that I've got no iris, my pupils are permanently dilated, and I don't have the ability to constrict the pupils when there's bright light around. So bright light on a daily ongoing basis is a quite severe side effect for me.
How did that affect things then, like your education and making friends?
I went to mainstream school straight from the school age 5 right through to when I was 16. I started school in 1962, and people always used to take the mick because I couldn't see and I didn't know how to respond in a positive way. But visual impairment was never understood or acknowledged or dealt with. Well, there was no help around, full stop. Never had classroom assistance then at all, or no special learning aid units or anything like that in the 60s. I don't even think they had them when I was at senior school.
What about, you know, outside school, your sort of family, friends, sort of socially? How did it affect you there?
My family were okay because I suppose we just all grew up with two daughters that had got visual impairment. My mum has had poor sight, but that was sort of like something totally different. And the friends that I grew up around with, sort of like next door or across the road, we all used to play together, and I don't think that ever remember it being a problem. They just accepted me for who I was.
What about after you left school? What did you go on to then?
I started off as an office junior. That's all it was. They knew I got visual impairment, but that wasn't an issue. I then worked in a factory. There was a lot of mickey taking there. Then I done a training course at the RNIB college that was in London at Pembridge Place at that point. And then I went straight into RNIB in 1987 until I got made redundant 2010.
After you left school then, you know, through that time and your employment time, were there help from national charities or local charities? Did you look for any support, or was it still quite hard to get back then?
It was still hard to get back, but at the job centre they used to have, I think it was called Disability Rehabilitation Officer, and it was his role to support you or try and look for work for you. And I did find that quite helpful.
You seem to find your way into employment okay, but was it a bit of a struggle in some of the places?
Yes, definitely. I used to be able to secure an interview quite easy, but then it almost felt like I was always being pushed out because of my disability.
A lot of sort of negative stuff coming from this, Linda, you know, through sort of your education and beyond as well. Was that difficult to deal with, or are you the kind of person that can sort of battle through that?
It was difficult, but I'm the sort of person, I do have a positive attitude and I do sort of push myself through it. When I was at RNIB, I'd done a couple of assertiveness training courses. One was for secretaries and another one was purely for ladies. And I found them so, so helpful. And I'm just not the person that I was 20 years ago.
So you're more confident, positive, probably speaking up for yourself more now as well.
Yeah, and I think when people first of all thought I was a shrinking violet and I'm suddenly opening my mouth and sort of speaking my mind, I think they've been taken aback because they didn't think I would speak.
Were there any positives then around the sort of sight loss thing? Did it take you on kind of different pathways or, you know, new interests or meet new people?
I'm not a great person for campaigning, but I was realising what my rights were. Like, you can go to the bank and try and say, I can't no longer read standard print in my bank statements. I want it in large print, and they'll do it. And you get some little smart Alex that was trying to say, oh, we can't do it, to which I simply try and say, we are the service provider. You are legally required to make an alternative case for it. And it's these little things that I picked up with when I was at RNIB, and I do use them now.
And you're a guide dog owner as well. Has that made a big difference to you?
Yes, I got widowed 8 years ago, and I don't know whether it was the stress of being bereft, but after about 18 months, I noticed my sight was getting worse. I'd been using a white cane permanently for about 3 or 4 years at that point anyway, and then just one day I thought, I've got to bite the bullet, I've just got to go for it, and I think it's the best thing I ever done. He makes me more confident of going out now because he's such a good guide dog. I mean, I've run into walking around smashed glasses, and if he doesn't think he should go in the road, he won't. You know, this sort of thing, it's really been a life changer for me.
Do you find that perhaps socially things have improved then since having Chips?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. Because he's a very much a people person, and he likes to be in the crowd and being have a fuss made of him, and he will calm down. But no, he's the centre of attention when we go to meetings and that sort of thing.
And what about sort of pastimes or leisure times? Do you have things that you do?
I did start doing Pilates, and the instructor and some of the ladies that I sort of used to do my Pilates with were aware of my sight problem. But then somebody said a sarcastic remark, and I don't really respond to things like that when I'm angry. So I calmed down and I completely forgot about it. And then a couple of months later, I thought, no, I'm going to go back to Pilates and you're not going to tell me what to do. But no, Peterborough Sight, which is the local blind association, because they've recently changed their name, they have a monthly walk and you take your dogs with it. They've got a swimming group. They do a craft fair, craft classes, which I don't actually attend, but they've got all sorts of activities there. So you can go to it if you want. They do a coffee morning twice a month. They do fish and chips once a month. So there's plenty of things to do there if I so choose.
So do you think, you know, having that confidence boost from the RNIB courses and, you know, being the person you are and having chips, would you say that has really given you a more positive outlook, perhaps made you try new things?
Yes, I would. I would love to go back to rambling. I used to do rambling up until, I think, just before I got chips. The lady who's in charge of the local group, I had a long chat with her, and in the programme it clearly says no dogs are allowed on the walk apart from assistance dogs, and I told her I would take it. I said, and at worst, I said he'd be on the lead. I said, probably not in his harness, I said, but if he's on the lead, I said, he knows to behave himself. I'm not made for 10 miles. I'm quite happy to do a 5-mile walk.
We're asking everyone when we're talking to them about their sight loss stories, if they have like maybe a song or a person or a place, maybe all three, that kind of means a lot to them.
I think my best friend, I've known her 49 years now, and she is so supportive of me. She will help me out. My disability isn't an issue. And I think for 49 years, that's a sign of a true friendship.
Just finally, Linda, we're also asking people, you know, if they would have sort of a piece of advice that they could give someone who perhaps is going through sight loss.
What I would actually try and tell them is not to be afraid to tell people that you can't see, you've got very little vision, you can't see what they're describing, you can't see what you're expected to read, and challenge them and then basically almost say to them, wear my shoes. My sister recently rung me up, the one who's got visually impaired, and she wanted to have my views on using a bread maker. And she was on about using a digital one. I said to her, look, what you've got to do is go to a store, tell them you've got a sight problem, ask them to show you one and show you exactly how it works. And she actually followed my advice and she said it's a perfect bread maker that she's got. Otherwise, she wouldn't have actually thought about doing that. Unless people know, then they can't help. They might think you're being ignorant if you just walk away. But if you say to somebody, I'm sorry, I can't see, please can you help me? It will come a second nature. I found it a bit awkward when I first got chips of asking for help, but now it's just second nature.
Linda, thank you for telling us your sight loss story.
Thank you.